Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Good morning to you on Wednesday, September 23rd. Field Yates, Matthew Berry hanging out with you. Stefania Bell, as always, here as well, plus Daniel Dopp and our whole crew. We want to begin today's show with a moment of gratitude, a huge thank you to everyone who joined us for our live podcast event last night, conducted virtually, of course. It was a ton of fun to get to hang out, answer some questions, a lot of fantasy and some not fantasy, which kind of is fun as well. And it was a great time, and it was presented by Geico. And Geico is now offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. Visit geico.com for more. And Marathon, fueling the American spirit. Thanks for making that night possible, and we had a great time. And the podcast, I believe, is available, Daniel.
It is available. I actually thought it was a lot of fun. We had some questions about where the nicknames have come from. I know we get that question a lot. So if you're ever wondering, Matthew and Stefania covered it, so definitely check out the podcast from last night.
Right, and you can hear about breakfast, the breakfast of champions.
Breakfast
I thought that
segment.
Was an enlightening segment. Tells you a lot about a person, depending on what he or she prefers to eat early in the morning.
Yeah, Fields' answer, just I'll ruin it for people that are going to that are just
all right, don't LeSean McCoy this,
Matthew. I'm just going to say, for people that are going to click on it and not listen, because all we care about are the clicks. We don't care. We don't
the downloads
we
want you to, and the
iTunes
reviews.
We just want you to download and give us 5-star reviews. We literally don't care if you listen or not. That's all we need from you. And Field Yates' perfect breakfast is basically booze. It's basically like a craft beer or a Bloody Mary or maybe both, doing a couple of shots. I don't know. It seemed very drunky. Your breakfast seemed very drunky.
Well, you were sort of listening during the podcast last night. So you have some
which
elements
more,
of that,
which
correct,
is which is
pretty consistent, right?
Yeah. It's normal.
No, I made it clear. I made it clear. I'm not a Bloody Mary or a mimosa type. I am instead a breakfast beer guy, which many people responded, reached out.
Is breakfast beer a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Is it really?
Did you go to college?
But it wasn't breakfast beer. It was just beer.
I just assumed that was how people watched college football. Like you wake up on Saturdays and
but that's not breakfast beer. You don't go to a restaurant and say like, I'll have your breakfast beer, please.
You went to college when there was no craft beer.
Wow.
That's true.
Wow.
So,
listen,
I mean, let's be honest.
You're taking shots at me?
Well, no, I was right there with you, but I know it was like tap beer from the keg room and that was it.
3-2 beer, right? Hey, you know what they back in your guys' day? 3-2?
No, listen, I probably went to bed with it, but like Thirsty Kyle and Amanda poll right now. Have you ever heard of breakfast beer? Yes,
listen,
no.
I think that this is unfair because I know that while prohibition was happening, Matthew, when you were in college, you were not allowed to drink. So like, let's not gatekeep Field.
You know,
okay?
it's a very good point. See, Daniel's being sensitive to you, right?
I hadn't considered that.
Daniel being very kind and sensitive to Matthew and his decades, and well, actually almost centuries ago, college experience. Let's get right into the news because
it was exciting
because
the NFL started just after I got out of college.
That was great.
Right.
You were not here the day that I roasted you about the NFL, but it was good.
I saw it online.
Yeah,
it was good.
Anyways, an update on Devontae Freeman. He has now signed with the New York Giants, a one-year deal worth up to $3 million, that according to Adam Schefter. And we talked about this yesterday, Matthew. We thought this was going to happen. So I think what we don't need to do is revisit the entire conversation, but we do have a little bit of extra context and understanding that he could play as soon as Sunday.
Right.
That what is our outlook now? Let's reestablish the pecking order of the Giants' backfield in terms of how we would prefer to have them in fantasy football. Late last night, I made a decision about whether I'm trying to claim Mike Davis or Devontae Freeman. Many people, I think, were making that same decision on waivers last night. I wound up with Mike Davis as opposed to Devontae Freeman, which
I was thrilled with.
Okay. You would prefer?
No. No, it's two reasons. Number one is I thought that was the right call.
Okay, good, yeah.
But more importantly, it was basically you had the first pick and Shefty, this is our War Room League, had the second pick. So by taking Mike Davis, it means you took Devontae Freeman. I play Shefty this week.
You're playing Shefty this week.
I would prefer to face Devontae Freeman this week than Mike Davis. I think Mike Davis gets 20 touches this week. I think Devontae Freeman, if he plays, will be eased into that lineup.
Okay.
And I prefer the matchup of Davis as well. And so, yes, for my own selfish purposes, I prefer Shefty to wind up with Devontae Freeman than Mike Davis. By the way, I also think for the time that Mike Davis is active, I believe I'll have him ranked higher than Devontae Freeman. Let's see what we get, right? But I think it's going to be a while, if at all, that Devontae Freeman has this backfield to himself. I think he'll be the head of a committee eventually, but I think it is still going to be a committee. I think Dion Lewis and Wayne Gallman are not just going to go away.
And so a couple of pieces of context here. You mentioned it's going to be a committee. You mentioned that we don't know if he'll play this week, and we've seen a rash of injuries. I don't need to remind anybody about all the injuries we've seen through 2 weeks of the NFL season, that this is a player who hasn't practiced once since, what, December of last year? So, I mean, he's going to probably take some time to get into the swing of things, so to speak. This is not like Leonard Fournette, where he changes teams after a full training camp, right?
Right.
So Devontae Freeman might need some time to get into the swing of things. And I think the big question we're going to have to find out is, which version of Devontae Freeman are we getting? Because peak Devontae Freeman was one of the most exciting players in the NFL. He was a fantasy rock star. But recent years have been a much different Devontae Freeman, who had just 2 rushing touchdowns on 184 carries last year and 3.6 yards per carry. So I say all that. Let's take stock once more of the Giants backfield. For the rest of the season, and this is a September 23rd conversation, it could look decidedly different on October 23rd or maybe even October 3rd. If you had to choose one Giants running back, we believe it remains Devontae Freeman. He has the best chance of those three players. Do we think if one of them stealing the job and keeping it, we think it's Devontae Freeman?
I agree with that.
Okay.
Yep.
Number 2 is Dion Lewis, who I think over the next 2 to 4 weeks has the most value.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also, I mean, our very own Jordan Renan, wrote about this and just said that, like, they believe, the Giants coaching staff believes, that Dion Lewis could carry a full load. Like, he's a bigger back and that they think he could. Now, whether that actually ends up happening remains to be seen. But
I think they think he plays bigger than he actually is. He's not a big back.
No, that's what I mean.
He's
pint-sized. Correct. I misspoke. But yes, plays bigger than he actually is, and they think that he could, in fact, handle a full workload. Now, that may be coach speak. We'll see, and you know, next man up kind of thing. But I would agree with you that if we're ranking them sort of, you know, on today, on September, whatever it is, 27th?
23rd.
Who keeps track of days?
Wow. No one.
September 20th. It's Wednesday of week 3. That's all I know. Yeah. Like, I literally, like, you know what I mean? Like, when I get into football season, it's like Wednesday of week 3. And, like, I keep my head down and, like, it's just block and tackle.
Am I wearing a tie or a button-down shirt?
Right. No, yeah, exactly. I mean, so we're going to finish this podcast today, and then I've got, like, I got to record something for the fantasy show, and then I'm writing Love Hate. Like, that's today. Okay, so at any rate, we think Dion Lewis, and then we think Wayne Gallman would be sort of the order there. But I do think it's a running back by committee. And by the way, so far, the Giants, under their new offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett, have yet to prove they can run the ball effectively.
I'm glad you brought that up, because while my concerns about Saquon Barkley were not nearly as grave, I mean, Saquon Barkley is the kind of player that...
Saquon.
Yeah, as a rookie, he had a garbage offensive line, and he ran wild. Now, at the same time, that offensive line with much different pieces is concerning. So I think I contemplated this one a ton yesterday, because I was deciding between Devontae Freeman and Mike Davis on waivers in the War Room League. My outlook for the entire backfield is just a little bit more tepid than it was even 24 hours ago.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I mean, understand that there's so much to me. So Saquon did not do anything in his first game and a half. They played the Steelers, they played the Bears on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, they played the Steelers at home and they played the
Bears. Bad matchups, for sure.
But the Bears at home in Chicago is a tough matchup. So let's see when their schedule gets a little bit easier, which it should after this week. And
maybe even this week.
Yeah.
Right.
The 49ers are all sorts of
bad. They're really beat up. They're still a good. I mean, they're all sorts of beat up.
Right.
They're still,
I mean,
better than the Giants.
Yeah, they could be. But I mean, they've got 3 starting defensive linemen out for this week.
Oh,
amongst
I know.
Other players, obviously.
I know. So. But so why don't you go ahead and name them?
So we've got Nick. Oh, sorry.
No, I can tell you.
Who's out, Stefania? I'm just curious. Can you tell me all the
Nick
injuries?
Nick Bosa
on the 49ers?
And Solomon Thomas are done for the year. Thanks for reminding me.
Right, right.
Dee Ford is going to miss again. He's got a back issue.
Yeah, he's good.
Just signed Ziggy Ansah, so who knows how much he'll be able to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And Richard Sherman not going to be there either. Still on IR?
He's not on the defensive line, but
he's
on IR
in the
if you want to just be throwing darts at me, yes.
No,
so
I'm just bringing up all the
though.
People on defense.
I actually think that
hurt.
this could present a problem for them this week.
Interesting.
It could be. Yeah, it could. Can Nick Mullins play both ways?
Well, Nick Mullins might not even start, right? All of a sudden, it looks like Jimmy Garoppolo has a glimmer of hope. We'll talk about all that a little bit
all
later.
Right.
So I think we have sort of our
secret
feelings.
Scroll, I just want to point this out, that, like, you know, when you sit there and you're trying to make fun of Stefania, you're just trying to, like, needle him. You ever notice, I'm just curious, if just real quickly, if you feel anger here for a second, because when I point and poke you about the Lions.
Sure.
Everyone sort of joins in. They sort of like, they get on board with a bit. They sort of go along with me. It's just kind of a full steam ahead train at you.
That's not
But here I'm
works.
Trying to do the same thing with Stefania, and like, no one's helped me out.
No.
Like, it's just.
They
so
like me.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, we disagree on that. Actually, I'll be honest, all of us cannot wait until the Washington football team is 3-13 at the end of the year so we can pay it back in full, Matthew Berry.
Me either.
Hey, Trevor Lawrence,
who
baby.
Cares? So tank for Trevor, baby. Yeah. That, even if Haskins proves himself, believe me, there'll be a lot of people that are willing to pay up to get Trevor Lawrence and that number one overall pick. I'm good. If we go 1-15 the hard way, I'm fine with it.
The hard way.
Yeah. We won the first one.
How do you go 1-15?
The hard way.
The hard way. 1-15 the hard way. We won the first one, and then we got to lose 15. Great.
That's actually a good point. Right. That's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
Let's move forward here. Sterling Shepard, the teammate of Devontae Freeman.
Wait, so I guess the wrap up of this is just basically wait and see on the Giants' backfield. Let's let's not put any of them. I will tell you that like I'm writing my love hate list today. The Giants' backfield as an entity will be on the hate list.
Interesting. Okay. Like maybe, yeah. No, I get it.
Maybe Deion Lewis or Wayne Gallman gets in the end zone for one. You know, again, they are 49ers defense is really banged up, but like the idea that you'll be able to know. Oh, you know, I really need to start this guy of those three, I think is fool's gold there.
Sterling Shepard for the Giants, also banged up right now. Stefania, what's the outlook for him in week three?
Not great. Turf toe issue, and I think that you can plan on Sterling Shepard not being out there this week. The question will be, how long will this compromise him? Remains to be seen.
So we've got Philip Lindsay dealing with turf toe, and it sounds like the estimates based off of reporting I've seen is somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks. We've got Sterling Shepard probably going to miss at least a week. So Matthew, just sort of, you know, understanding that each one's different. I know Stefania would tell me that, but this could be 1 week. It could be more than 1 week. I think what it means is that stock up for Darius Slayton again.
Stock up for Darius Slayton.
Relatively.
Stock up for Evan Engram. Stock up for Golden Tate as well, who's coming back this week, right? We expect – well, he played a little bit last week too. But my feeling is that especially with a run game, now that you don't have Saquon Barkley, like Saquon Barkley demands to be fed. And I'm not saying him about a person, but like if you're Jason Garrett, you're coming up with a game plan, you're sitting here like, all right, well, I know I got to get, you know, try to get 20 touches to Saquon Barkley because, by the way, he's their best player, right? So now you no longer have that that concern, so to speak, right? And so now you're a little bit more free to like, all right, well, when a run makes sense, we can do it. But otherwise, like, so maybe we see the Danny Dimes that we expected this preseason, the one that, you know, I was a big sleeper on. I'm hoping that without Saquon Barkley there against a banged up defense, maybe Danny puts in a good performance here on Sunday. I don't know that I feel confident in starting any of them in a significant way other than Evan Engram.
Yeah, but even Evan Engram I'm not super confident in, right? I mean, so, you know what I would say,
I'm
Matthew?
Among the tight ends, but I'm just like...
No. I agree with
you.
He's
the top 15 tight end.
No, no doubt. If you have Evan Engram on your roster, you're almost assuredly starting him. I just want to see it from all these guys. Because you were just talking about how like the Washington football team could accomplish 1-15 the hard way.
Yeah.
It's only week three. Like a lot of stuff that we think... right now could turn into fool's gold by October 15th. So the Giant, it's time to get going for the entire Giants offense. I still think we believe in the upside eventually, but the schedule has done them no favors up to this point.
It's getting late early, as this phrase goes, right?
It sure is. But the next 4 weeks will be telling. It's a lighter lift, as you mentioned, with the schedule. 49ers on the road against the Rams, who are good defensively. On the road to the Cowboys, they are not good defensively right now. And then home to the Washington football team, which has been... okay, so far defensively, not amazing.
Our line
but also,
is good. Our secondary is.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of classifying it.
So but Daniel Jones should be okay because mobile quarterbacks, if they can avoid the rush, then they can find open guys.
Let's get into our rankings talk for week three.
Yes, sir.
I just want to mention, if you drafted Deshaun Watson as your quarterback, you might be 0-2 right now. I hope you're not, but you might be.
Right.
You might start 0-3, but man, do you need to be patient here. Do you remember, was it last year or the year before where the Texans started 0-3 or maybe even 0-4?
Deshaun Watson certainly started slow last year. That certainly happened.
There was a year last year or the year before where they started, I believe, 0-3, and then I think it was 2 years ago because they avoided 0-4 against the Giants in like an overtime miracle game, or maybe it was against the Colts where like Frank Reich decided to punt in overtime when he could probably should have gone for it.
Right.
Anyways, they had this great comeback from an early season slump. You may need that in your fantasy team this year with Deshaun Watson. You just may not love what you see on Sunday. He was fine in week one, right? He is averaging 17.8 fantasy points per game through two games so far this season. That's 15th best amongst quarterbacks. The problem is you drafted him to be a top five quarterback, not a top 15 quarterback. And this week, Matthew, he finds himself in the exact same spot that he was at last week. And I think what this comes down to is that we are still tantalized by the brilliance of Deshaun Watson, that it's hard for us to push him outside of our top 10. And yet, he's right there at number 10. Last week, he was 9/10. Okay.
I believe I have him at 11.
So you've adjusted.
I think,
okay.
Yes, I have. I adjusted last night. I put Aaron Rodgers at 10, and I have Watson at 11 there. So for people watching on the screen, the
think
graphics
about how crazy
are
that is, though.
Incorrect.
Think about how crazy that is, that what would you see, or what have you seen so far from Aaron Rodgers versus Deshaun Watson that would suggest it needs to be close?
What do you mean, what have you seen? Like, Aaron Rodgers has been lights out.
That's so maybe I've phrased it differently. What have you seen from Deshaun Watson that leads you to believe it should be close between him and Aaron Rodgers, right? That's my point. My point is that, like, Aaron has been money, and Deshaun has been the opposite. He's been pennies.
He's been pennies.
And Aaron Rodgers, and they're only one slot apart. It's crazy.
They're right. And you like the matchup for Green Bay this week a lot more than you like Deshaun Watson and on the road at Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I wasn't questioning you. I was saying, it's wild that, these guys are only one slot apart. I think the takeaway is that if you drafted Deshaun Watson, you probably don't have a second quarterback on your roster. Hang tight for one more week. Much better days are ahead, because if you look at their schedule beyond week three, I mean, it can't get any worse, right? You play the Chiefs, the Ravens, and the Steelers out of the gate. And then after that, I don't even know what their schedule is, but I know it gets easier. I'll promise you that.
Question for you, though. Just a philosophical one. Okay. Let's say you have Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
Let's say you're 0-2.
Okay.
Let's say you can pick up Gardner Minshew off of the waiver wire.
Yep.
Now, I just told you I have Deshaun Watson at 11.
Yeah.
I have Gardner Minshew
at 8.
At 8.
Yeah. You know what I'm doing?
What are you doing?
I'm picking up the mustache. I'm playing him tomorrow night.
I agree.
Perfect segue into the next player we're going to discuss, which is Gardner Minshew.
While I agree with Field in his general assessment in terms of patience with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's a special player. I think at the end of the day, he will get there. But if you're 0-2, you need to win. You need to win this week. And we believe, you and I, based on our rankings, we believe that you have a better chance at winning with Gardner Minshew than Deshaun Watson. Doesn't mean it's going to work out that way, but fantasy football is all about playing the odds and what's more likely to happen. And Gardner Minshew, who has been nothing short of fantastic fantasy-wise the first 2 weeks, against a Dolphins defense that has been nothing short of brutal the first 2 weeks, gives you a better shot at fantasy success this week than Deshaun Watson, who has struggled for the first 2 weeks against a Steelers defense that has been nothing short of lights out this season.
Yeah, I think there are three quarterbacks that maybe classify into, you could potentially use them for 1 week this week, that are available in enough leagues that you could actually make this happen. Gardner Minshew, and we'll get into a little bit more of a Gardner Minshew conversation in just a moment. Joe Burrow plays the Eagles, and he's, I think his consensus rank is somewhere around like 13 this week for us, so a near starter. And then also Ryan Tannehill, who we can keep poo-pooing him if you want. Go ahead. Ryan Tannehill has been awesome again this season.
4 touchdowns last week. By the way, just can you play the breaking news drop here?
ESPN Radio.
Ivar on breaking news.
Okay, what do we got?
Ivar on breaking news.
Fantasy Life app just gave me an alert, and I think this qualifies. Sterling Shepard has been placed on IR.
Wow. Yeah.
To make room for Devontae Freeman. This is per Tom Rock of Newsday. Thank you to the app for the status updates. It gives you all those alerts. That's what the Fantasy Life app does.
Yeah, the Giants again, just announced it. Good stuff.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, Sterling Shepard's out for at least 3 weeks is what what that means, Stefania. Yes.
Yes. I mean, you know what? I kind of like this new IR. I know it creates for a lot of movement and it can be frustrating, but it actually, for fantasy purposes, gives us some clarity. They would not have had this option open to them in a typical season, but because of COVID-19, as we've talked about before, they have the ability to move a player to IR and have him out for 3 weeks and then the ability to bring him back. So we know that it's 3 weeks, and I think that allows the player to not be hassled every week by whether he'll come back, and the team as well, and it gives him 3 weeks of recovery.
Okay, so that's good context there. So we know a minimum of 3 weeks for Sterling Shepard, a lot of what we said applies earlier. So more continued good for Darius Slayton and also Golden Tate?
Would you, question for you.
Yeah, would you drop him?
Would you drop him? You now know he's going to be without 3 weeks. Like, and you're starting to get in crunch time and you're like, you know.
He's
like,
droppable.
Yeah.
I think that we need to, there's a very difference, and I hope people, I think people are smart enough to know, there's a big difference between would I drop him as in like, is this a player, like I think Gronk is a drop, right? Like Gronk is like, I'm dropping him without intention of picking him back up later. Droppable is, hey, if I need the roster spot, like, gosh, you know, like,
yeah,
can I afford to drop Sterling Shepard to add Gardner Minshew? Yes.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, we like Sterling Shepard. I think when he comes back, he's going to be a viable wide receiver three-ish, right? And we expect this Giants offense to get better, and we certainly like Daniel Jones. But yes, that's one of those that, like, if I drop him now because I really need Minshew or whoever, and I don't get him back in 3 weeks, that's all right.
Yeah, you'll survive.
It is unlikely that dropping Sterling Shepard is going to cost you your league.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to mention, and I know this, I don't want to say that Stefania suggested it was only 3 weeks, but it's a minimum of 3 weeks, right?
Like, that's so correct.
While in a lot of cases it will be that players miss just 3 weeks and then they're back, it could be that you're on there for 3 weeks, but it actually is a 6 week injury or a 5 week injury.
And I know nothing beyond the alert, but you know, in terms of the alert, which was this reporter from Newsday that tweeted it out, they're saying they made the move to make room for Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, they needed
to find the roster spot. So it may be one of those things where it's just like, we know he's hurt enough to put him on IR for 3 weeks. We'll figure it out in the next 3 weeks of who loses their spot when Shepard comes back and we have Freeman on the roster.
Yeah, well, they promoted a practice squad cornerback to the active roster yesterday.
Right.
Like, there's all kinds of tinkering. So I'm not worried about if it will not be the roster construction that prevents Sterling Shepard from coming back in 3 weeks. It'll be his toe if it does happen at all. Let's move forward.
Actually, correct.
All right, just quickly on Gardner Minshew. I think we've teased it enough, but you said he's been great so far this season. He was really good last year as well. He presented a relatively high floor option.
Yeah.
He's mobile enough to get you some points with his legs. Obviously, he is in an offense that in some weeks, like last week's going to have to throw the ball a ton because they played a highly competitive but high-scoring game as well against the Titans. And the Dolphins' defense, we thought this defense was supposed to come around a little bit this year. It hasn't yet.
No.
The high-price additions have not yielded the return they expected him, at least at some point, to do. However, they also are going to probably be without Byron Jones, who at the time he signed with the Dolphins was the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. So another big ticket player not available for Miami. All these point to what we just discussed. Gardner Minshew is in line for a big fantasy day.
I talked about it in the preseason. He was a preseason sleeper for me. He made the preseason love list, even though Gardner Minshew asked, who the hell is Matthew Berry?
I know
exactly who Gardner Minshew is, and I was, I believe I was the highest on him among all of our rankers by a significant margin here. I will say that, look, to your point, Minshew, very mobile, right? 19 or more rushing yards in 5 of the past 6 games dating back to last week. Like, you like the offensive scheme fit there, right? We've talked about this a lot. Offense coordinator Jay Gruden, quarterbacks coach Ben McAdoo, what do those guys like to do? They like to throw, right? And without Leonard Fournette there, they are no longer beholden to having to give a running back a lot of touches. James Robinson has gotten the backfield touches there, but they're going to throw, and especially given how bad their defense is, my expectation here is that Minshew, who is averaging 22 fantasy points per game in his first two, is a top 8 play this week against the Dolphins.
We all have him ranked as quarterback 8. And I don't know this is quite a perfect analogy, but in some ways, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Gardner Minshew kind of remind me of you and me.
Oh.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, the elder statesman, been there, done that. Sometimes he's
sometimes throws a pick.
I was going to say, sometimes you never
gunslinger,
know.
Gunslinger. You try a bunch of stuff. Sometimes it's magic.
They're
sometimes
not
it's tragic.
Kids.
Right. How about
not
you?
All winners, kids. That's fair.
We could you could be Ryan Fitzpatrick for Halloween this year. You could borrow Daniel's beard.
Yeah, it could be. I think the difference between you and Gardner Minshew, and there's a few, but one of them is he has hit puberty. He can grow facial hair.
Wow. I tell you what, Matthew, I'm coming in. My beard is actually kind of nice. And
have you not? Has it been a month since you've shaved?
No, it's been a day. I actually could grow better facial hair than you give me credit for. And I give myself credit for it.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, you're missing out on the point then.
Fine. Like, don't shave. I'll see you Friday. I'm not going to do tomorrow's show. Don't shave until Friday. Let me see what you look like morning.
We'll see. Maybe next week. All right. We're going to talk about running back rankings in just 1 second. But first, Daniel, a word about our friends at ADT.
Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT. We just start strapping ADT to all those NFL players out there, huh?
Yeah.
You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you want just the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help protect your home. HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are connected to 24/7 monitoring, all controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. All ADT products are rigorously tested, sorry about that, Field, to deliver the quality you expect from ADT, the most trusted name in home security. ADT experts installers average 10-plus years of experience. When you want to be happy with your ADT service, they provide the best money-back guarantee from any national security provider out there. Protect now and pay later with low, flexible monthly payments to fit your budget. Support ADT because they support us. Thank you to our friends over at ADT.
Daniel, did you know that right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Matthew to look like Ryan Fitzpatrick? Because it's never going to happen.
Yeah!
It's never going to happen. Sorry. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. All right, let's keep it going here with the running back rankings. And we actually have less disagreement and dissension this week than I think in a lot of weeks. But let's talk about David Johnson, because really good in week one. And he looked like David Johnson. Do we think that last week, Matthew, was attributable to the Ravens defense? And if that's the case, do we think that another average day is in store for David Johnson? Because as we just talked about with Deshaun Watson, it's not like it gets easier when you play the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, look, I am outside my top 20 here. You think about the Steelers, who've allowed the fourth fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs here. They've allowed just 97 running back rushing yards this entire season.
Yeah.
That's second fewest in the NFL. They're the only team allowing under one running back yard per carry after contact. They've been great tackling as well. And so David Johnson, who came back to earth after that exciting week one, yeah, to me is more of a flex play here.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, Melvin Gordon got into the end zone last week against the Steelers so it could certainly happen. We expect him to get the majority of the work of the running backs here.
That's what matters.
But it's a tough matchup.
Here's what matters to me about David Johnson. He's a flex, but here's the reason why I'm not totally concerned by last week. He's playing 90%+ of the snaps for the Texans. It's hard to find. There's like five running backs that play as many snaps as David Johnson does. And so not saying that just because you play snaps, it means you're automatically going to be a fantasy asset. But if you believe enough in the ability, and I do believe enough in the ability for David Johnson, the floor is relatively high. Most weeks, you're going to be closer to a top 20 or even 18 play. Last week, terrible matchup. This week, terrible matchup. I think, again, this is a player I was excited about going into this season. I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong. I think starting again next week, David Johnson will have the opportunity to prove people wrong.
The weird part to me is it feels like, why would you not use David Johnson more in the passing game? That's one that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think last week the game just got away from them. It was a funky game. Yeah, it was a funky game. I mean, Deshaun Watson was uncharacteristically sloppy with the football. The Ravens, I mean, they ended up the fourth quarter of the Ravens just smothered that clock with the running game.
Spanked them.
It was not a good day for the Houston Texans. They got to get on track.
Say
in
daddy.
A hurry. If they're 0-3 after this week, Leonard Fournette.
Before we move on to Uncle Leonard Fournette, I just want to ask Secret Squirrel. I'm gonna just do this real quickly here. Secret Squirrel.
So you can't do anything real quickly, Matthew. So I don't know why you caveated with that.
8 minutes later.
You know what, I like to
Leonard Fournette.
I mosey on the podcast. I messed up at the beginning. Earlier, Secret Squirrel and I talked pre-show, and he said he wanted to get into sort of theory on Mike Davis, Devontae Freeman, if you'd rostered them,
Good point. You did not.
And so since we're in the running back section, I thought maybe we could dive into that real quickly.
Yeah,
so
I like
what
the idea.
Secret, so yeah. Good? All right. So what Secret Squirrel asked was, okay, let's say you're in a situation where you picked up Mike Davis or Devontae Freeman or even Josh Kelly, who's out there in a lot of leagues that we liked a lot, Daryl Henderson, and you picked him up not because you need a running back. You have so far escaped
the
injury bug. You're playing defense. You're playing the waiver wire, getting an asset. So what do you do now? Do you think their value is at an all-time high now for desperate running back needy teams, or should you just sit back and wait? I have a thought here, but...
Yeah, so I mentioned this to Daniel. It's probably unlikely that you got those players, right? Because I think in most leagues, Mike Davis and Devontae Freeman were the top two waiver ads. And if you have a bottom two record, it's probably because your running backs are either hurt or struggling out of the gate. Now, that's not, but again,
right.
But in this scenario, Matthew, I think what I would be doing is if I got Devontae Freeman, I'd try to trade him. Yep. And I think I feel differently about Mike Davis. If I have Mike Davis, I'm going to utilize him as an asset on my roster for the next 4 to 6 weeks, maybe longer, maybe a little bit less. But if I got Devontae Freeman, there's a chance his value is at its peak right now because there are still people that are going to believe that he could have a top 15 type season in him. If I could get somebody that, if I could trade one of those players, if I could trade Devontae Freeman for a player that I'm utilizing in my roster weekly, I would do it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, so I'm in one league where I'm 0-2.
Okay.
Right? And my running backs are
nobody I saw it too.
No, but it is. It's one league. I mean, so I do have McCaffrey in that league, but I also have Joe Mixon. I have Julio Jones, Will Fuller, Mark Andrews did nothing, A.J. Brown,
yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger. Like, it's a good team. It's a really good team, but it's been bit by the injury bug a decent amount, right? But not really at the running back position. I mean, although losing McCaffrey last week was a... But McCaffrey had a... My point is that McCaffrey had two good fantasy days before he got hurt. So
remember
it hurts me going forward.
You said you were
going
to be quick about this. Do you remember that?
Well, I lied.
Yeah.
Okay. Get used to it.
I just can't get over the fact that you play in 16 fantasy leagues, and in one of them, you're 0-2. Like, you're an expert. Aren't you the face of fantasy football?
By the way, I would put this team up against anyone. I don't think I'm still going to win this league.
Real quick, me too.
Yeah.
Anyways, keep going. Tell us about the.
Whatever. I'm owning it. I'm being honest.
I can't believe you're 0-2.
Like, it is a good team.
I'm LeVar Ball. I've never lost.
But tell us about adding who you added. Who did you grab off the waiver wire?
I added Mike Davis, and I was able to get Josh Kelly.
Oh, nice.
So this league's a little bit funky with its waivers, but my point is that. My point is that what I think I would do is I believe while the value may still quote go higher for these players, like if Devontae Freeman comes out and looks like old Devontae Freeman, value goes up than what it is maybe right now.
I agree.
But the market may not be hotter than it is right now for them because teams are so desperate. Because there are teams in your league that are 0-2 that are panicking that just lost Saquon.
Good call.
Right? I mean, right. And so I actually would start working the waiver wire, and I'm actually fine with taking slightly less than market value because there's also a chance, by the way, that you know everything's right. Like, I mean, like especially for like Devontae Freeman, right? Like, I'm with you. Like, if Devontae Freeman could come out and look old, Devontae Freeman could come out and like be part of a three-headed committee. Like, who knows, right? So I just think this is a perfect weekend to try to shop some of the other guys that you might have there. And by the way, like if you have Mike Davis, like we think Mike Davis is going to be productive for the next 4 to 6 weeks, right? So I might trade another asset, depending on your running back depth. It doesn't have to be the guy you just picked up. It can be another running back on your team or other depth that you have because we feel good about, like I feel good about the season-long workload of Josh Kelly. I feel good about Mike Davis until McCaffrey comes back.
I think your logic is solid. I like it. Let's talk about Leonard Fournette now. Leonard Fournette last week had, I don't know if it's a breakout game because it was still 12 carries, but he had over 100 yards. He had two rushing touchdowns, including that game-sealing 46-yard rushing touchdown, I think it was. Matthew, you and I still have him as a flex, but I'm going to ask Daniel here. And Daniel, I think, has been a little bit ahead of the curve here with Lenny. He sort of wanted to make this happen. Are you comfortable as an RB2 consideration with Leonard Fournette? Because you have him ranked 17th amongst backs.
I do. So here's my thought. If I have him ranked at 17, if I also had him ranked at 21, like I would still be starting him there probably as
a flex
play.
Not a huge gap. That's fair.
But the idea for me is that, like we talked about, you know, if we think that this Tom Brady-led offense is going to be scoring points, right, then I believe that Leonard Fournette is going to be the guy they're going to give the ball to. I know that we saw it from LeSean McCoy last week as well. But over the last three quarters of week two, Leonard Fournette had 85% of those running back points. Now, part of that was because of the big run and the touchdown. But you saw them trust Leonard Fournette when it mattered.
Yeah.
And he looked good. Like he
looked good.
He looked pretty good. So the idea to me is like you don't bring this guy in to not utilize him. If I think someone's going to get a score there, I would assume it would be Leonard Fournette over any of those other backs.
So, I want to say one thing, though. You said like you don't bring him in not to utilize him. Is that like I'm not sure what the cadence is right now with Bruce Arians because he simultaneously built Ronald Johnson up 8 times over. Ronald Jones has been the starter each of these past 2 weeks. Like clearly they want Ronald Jones to be a big part of their offense, right?
And Ronald Jones scored last week too.
Yeah, so I guess as much as I think there is logic behind the idea of making Leonard Fournette your go-to guy, it may not be as easy as that with Tampa Bay because of how Tampa Bay seems to be orchestrating things. I mean,
sure.
I understand that Bruce Arians, one of the reasons why we admire him and love him in the media is because he's such a straight shooter. But it's like now, like people are wondering what the heck, like there's some sort of weird signals being sent to Gronk, right? Like
right.
Gronk's got two catches in two games and it's like, basically it's like tough luck. Like they'll come if they come, if they don't, right? So
Fournette was in Brady's, we got a win video. Did you notice that?
Who did, was he?
Tom Brady did a little bit, you know, it's a little, might've made the gram. I think Leonard Fournette made the gram.
I might have to adjust my rankings then. Yeah.
I would just say here, what I would say is for me, the concern here is I haven't ranked to 25 this week.
Yeah.
And very easily see a scenario where he beats that ranking and I'm just dead wrong on it.
Sure. Mm.
But the reason of the ranking is twofold. Number one is the concern on playing time. Like, do I think he earned more playing time with his performance last week? Of course I do. But I don't know that the job is entirely his. Right. I mean, we still saw a decent amount of Ronald Jones last week. Not a great match with the Broncos, right? I mean, Broncos' sixth fewest running back fantasy points allowed so far this season. So, I mean, the Broncos are beat up a little bit on defense, but it's still a better than average defense. Games in Denver, they're going to travel there. And the other piece of it is that Chris Godwin should be back this week, right? So we have yet to see what the Tampa Bay offense looks like at full strength because Mike Evans was hobbling around on one hamstring in week one. No Godwin last week, right? And so, you know, there's just too many unknowns for me to say, like, yep, Leonard Fournette in a week in which there are no bye weeks is obviously a no-brainer starter. It's just there's too many question marks for me yet, which is why I have him as a flex play and not a top 20 guy this week.
Wouldn't surprise me if we all end up where Daniel is in the next 2 to 3 weeks, but for now, a little bit more patience between Matthew and I. Let's talk about Jerick McKinnon, but before we do that, I want to ask Stefania a question that I think is actually intuitive, but I don't know that people are really talking about enough right now. Stefania, Jerick McKinnon 2 years ago signed with the 49ers for 4 years and $32 million. Unfortunately, he suffered a major knee injury at the end of training camp. He came back last year, and then that knee issue flared up again. He missed back-to-back seasons. This is a player whose knee, I don't know what the state of it is, but I can't imagine he will ever have quite the same health in his knee that he did before those injuries. He's now back, and they might need him to play a decent role on Sunday, but can you really give the football 20 times 3 weeks into a season in which Jerick McKinnon has been off the football field for 24 months? Is it weird that I'm sort of cautious on the idea of him getting more than, let's say, like 8 to 12 touches?
It's not weird at all. You're bringing up excellent points. And I don't think they would have scripted it this way, but I think out of necessity, he may be pushed to a little bit more work. Obviously, you're operating within the context of the team's concerns about the field and also what they saw last week. Now, I think that you're still going to see Jeff Wilson get work, Jerick, and probably steal potentially a touchdown away from Jerick McKinnon. That could happen. But I think that Jerick McKinnon, this is based on the fact that what he's done so far, he's responded really well. He's looked good. He hasn't had any issues with the knee. And, you know, who knows at what point last season he might have been able, you know, once they made the decision for him to go out for the year, it's done. You know, if you had the luxury of doing something like what they're able to do this year, could he have come back partway through the season? It might have been an option. So I think it's hard to know. Obviously, they're watching it very carefully. And you're right. They probably would not have scripted it that he suddenly would carry the majority of the work. But I don't think they're going to do anything rash. And if he feels good, they'll probably allow him to work more than they would have anticipated.
I hope I'm wrong because I like the player a lot. And I think his story is an inspiring one right now. I've just got him running back 29. You guys are at 23, each of you. So that's why I'm lower than you guys. I'm just mindful of the possibility that he might get, like I said, 12 or so touches as opposed to 18 or so touches. That being said, he is an excellent pass catcher, and we saw last week he's got some juice. So you're more confident, that's all.
Yeah, it's not only more confident, but it's also not only necessity here, but also the matchup here. I mean, the Giants allowed David Montgomery and Benny Snell, neither guy that has lit up the NFL so far this year, so far in their careers, right? But David Montgomery and Benny Snell combined for 35 carries, 195 yards, 5.6 yards per carry so far. Their running game has a lot to be desired here. And given the dearth of pass catchers and obviously even viable running backs for the 49ers, I do think that even if it's only closer to 12 to 15 than 17 to 20 touches. I think they'll be high leverage spots. I think they will be used in a smart way here. My expectation here is that McKinnon has a very nice day. Again, I have him at 23, so it's like I'm not going crazy here because I agree with you. I don't think they're going to use him between the tackles. I think you'll probably see some Jeff Wilson Jr., and we'll see what this offense looks like if Garoppolo can't go. But I like the matchup a lot, and in PPR scoring, which is what we do our rankings for, he should have a pretty good day.
Time for some pass catcher rankings, and Generation Rising is brought to you by EA Sports NFL Madden 21. First player we're going to discuss is Calvin Ridley. We all have him inside our top 10, but you and Daniel both have him inside your top 5. Interesting question posed during our live remote show last night, which was, if you got Calvin Ridley, would you consider trading him right now with the thought process being his value is at its apex?
Sure.
Or would you say, hey, you know what? I'm here. I believe this is going to stay as it is, and I would rather have a clear-cut wide receiver one for the next 14 weeks.
Any player is available in trade. The correct answer is that would you consider trading a player? The answer is yes. The answer always has to be yes. The answer always has to be yes. It just depends on what you're offering.
So my point is that
the question is, in essence, right, is like, do you think his value goes higher than it is now, or could it go lower? It can't go higher. He's the number one wide receiver in fantasy by 20 points.
Right.
Okay. So my answer here is that if somebody is offering me what Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins was worth at the beginning of the season, one of those type guys, then yes, I do the deal.
So let me rephrase the question, because I think what you're saying, I think we all understand that and get that. If you had Calvin Ridley on your roster and he's 20 points clear of every other wide receiver through 2 weeks, would you proactively start to make offers to other players with Calvin Ridley?
I would not.
That's the answer that people are looking at.
Right. Because I think what you need to value him, do I think he finishes the year as the number one wide receiver in fantasy by 20 points? I do not. Okay.
I'm just asking instinct.
I understand.
Yeah.
I do not. So I do think, yes, his value comes down slightly, so to speak. But I do think he will well outperform his ADP. Whatever it cost you to acquire him on draft day, he's going to grossly outperform in a significant way. So to me, his value is as a top 5 wide receiver in fantasy. And if somebody's willing to pay that price, I'm in for it.
But other than that, no,
enjoy the ride and congratulations.
Kenny Galladay is expected to make his return this week, but Stefania, do you have any concern? Are you saying no?
No, I'm just not excited about it.
Okay, got you. I'm surprised. Yeah.
Really. Well, he got a Patrick Peterson shadow. I mean, coming back first week, offense doesn't look great. So I didn't mean to take it from Stefania.
I was going to ask Stefania, do you have any concerns about him playing this week, Stefania?
Well, you always do. You guys it's like a broken record, right? Until a guy comes back and gets through a game without a setback, you're never really fully confident. But you take some clues wherever you can. And the fact that last week, Matt Patricia said he was really close, even before Sunday's game, there were hints that they thought he was very close. And I think they did the smart thing by keeping him out through week 2. Let's see what the practice reports show. But if he's back and does this full practice every day or even starts limited Wednesday and moves up to full the next couple of days, then I feel really good about it. I've got him on a team. I would be planning on starting him. You have a comparison in Miles Sanders, who, again, they held out because they were being cautious. And then that week practiced fully and went in and was able to go the full length of the game without any setbacks. So it's not like this is going down to the wire. This is something they were optimistic about a week ago.
Okay,
I'll move him slightly higher in my rankings after hearing Stefania give him a clean bell of health. We sure Patrick Peterson's still a thing?
Just going to ask you that. I would love to see Mike Clay's wide receiver cornerback matchup report is now up. I think Patrick Peterson's a very good player, but there's evidence last year, right?
I mean Terry McLaurin. Like on an offense that can't pass, Terry McLaurin lit him up last week.
Sure, yeah. He had a down season last year. Did Patrick Peterson be the first person to tell you that? It may not be quite the daunting matchup it once was, and I think this is probably just a matter of how confident you are in Kenny Galladay finishing the game. Not starting, but finishing.
And
Stefania gave us good news
And to
there.
Secret Squirrel's point, the Detroit offense, like not taking any shots, this Detroit offense has looked out of sync so far this year.
Out of sync is a really polite way to say it.
Right, and so it's looked out of sync, and the question is it out of sync because Galladay hasn't been out there, and they've been trying to make do with like Marvin Hall and Quintez Cephas, or whatever, and make Marvin Jones a one, not a two? Is that the reason why it's been out of sync, or has it been out of sync just because it's out of sync, and there was no preseason practices and whatever. So that there's just a little bit of that there for me is why I have him. Normally, I'd have him inside my top 10 and why I have him as a wide receiver too. But I agree with Stefania's overall assessment that if you have him, you're starting him.
Dude, I'm tapping my mic right here just to tell you guys a little something.
What do you got?
Lions are winning on Sunday.
Oh,
wow.
Snap.
Yeah.
Are you willing to make that guarantee, Daniel?
Absolutely not.
Oh, wow.
I feel I love you like a brother.
Love you too.
I've watched the Lions games the last 2 weeks. I have no interest in thinking that we could stop Kyler Murray out there.
I just got a funky feeling about it. I'll probably regret that, but I
hope that you're right, man.
I don't care.
I feel like if when we're done with a show every day, we don't regret at least one thing. It's been a bad show.
Totally. So there you go. All right. Quickly on Keenan Allen, because we're all over the board here. I've got him at 19. Daniel, you've got him at 31. Matthew kind of in between at 26. Let me ask you guys this. Is your ranking factoring in Tyrod Taylor?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. I jumped the gun. I got ahead of myself. I am assuming that Justin Herbert's the starter this week and going forward. If it were Justin Herbert, where would he be?
He'd be certainly higher. He was wide receiver 11 last week with Herbert. 16.6 points, 7 catches on 10 targets, 97 yards. Looked like Keenan Allen again.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you love the matchup with the Carolina Panthers here. So, you know, look, this is probably a little bit too behind the scenes, but I'll just tell you. So in terms of rankings, right? So Mike Clay does our projections here at ESPN.com. He does our projections every week. He does an amazing job. By the way, no one's telling me to say this. I'm just telling you guys, legit, as somebody who's looked at projections throughout the industry,
right.
Mike's are awesome.
We got that one email recently that was like, make sure you like promote my.
No, but real talk, like, because
no, he's the best.
We used to do Love Hate last week, and I would do it off of Mike Clay. Last year, I used to do it off of Mike Clay's projections, and they were a pain because I would always
they're
be
so within, good.
They're so good.
Yeah.
I'd be like, and I'd get a love, and I'd get it right, but I'd beat him by like 0.2 points. You know what I mean? Like this anyway. So Mike Clay's projections are really, really good, and so I tend to rank. You know, and trying to be in sync for everyone that you know follows our stuff on ESPN Fantasy. That so right now the current projection is for Tyrod Taylor. So if ESPN Fantasy in essence is saying Tyrod Taylor is the starter, then I'm going to rank accordingly. If we get news that Justin Herbert's going to start, and by the way, I agree with you. My gut tells me Herbert should start. He was the better quarterback. I like, you know, Anthony Lynn trying to play deference to the veteran by leaving it. If he's going to start if he's 100% healthy, but like I think Tyrod's going to be at about 90% healthy by Sunday. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those things. But at the moment, the official word from ESPN is that Tyrod's the starter, and that's what Anthony Lynn has said. So that's how I'm ranking it. But yes, if Herbert were named the starter, Keenan Allen would go much higher for me.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why I have him inside my top 20. I said this on Monday. I was excited by what I saw from Justin Herbert. I think we all are. And I'm actually not surprised with Anthony Lynn's words. You've brought this up. This is a former player, and there are those that believe that you should not lose your job due to an injury. This is something that many players have dealt with, though, throughout their career, right? Alex Smith obviously lost his job as the 49er starter to Colin Kaepernick after he got hurt, and Kaepernick played brilliantly and took that job and for multiple years.
Drew Bledsoe,
which did you know that was exactly 19 years ago today? Drew Bledsoe was hit by Mo Lewis 19 years ago today.
No way.
Wow.
That, so,
did not know that.
So I'm not surprised by the Justin Herbert commentary right now from Anthony Lynn. I still think, though, that push comes to shove. Justin Herbert starting somewhere between 13 and 15 games this year.
I agree. Yep. The question is just whether does he say, hey, you know what? I want Carolina's let's give Tyrod an easy start, sure. So to speak. Does he do that?
Nah,
you know, the
they
quote from him
week
has
one.
Yeah.
And didn't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
They played far better in week two in a loss than they did in week one.
1,000%
in a win. All right. We're coming back with a couple of questions, but first, hello football fans who live in apartments in big city. We are sympathizing with all you out there who want every live game every Sunday afternoon, but who can't get DirecTV where you live. I have some good news for you. Now you can stream 2020 NFL Sunday Ticket on your favorite devices with no satellite required and get every live out-of-market game every Sunday afternoon. Go online to nflsundayticket.tv now to see if you're eligible. Why watch only one Sunday out-of-market game when you can watch them all? Catch every game with nflsundayticket.tv. Use promo code ESPN2020 at checkout to save 15%. That's promo code ESPN2020 to save 15% at NFLSundayTicket.tv. Don't miss any of the action. Head to NFLSundayTicket.tv today.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? Coors Light wants to give you a breakaway from the new reality of endless video chats in 2020. So say goodbye to your video chat background and hello to that beautiful travel destination in real life. And actually chill there. Five lucky winners will get trips to the beautiful destinations they've been dreaming about for months. To enter for a chance to win, visit CoorsLight.com/outside. During September, and upload a screenshot of yourself in your ideal video chat background. The prize package is valid through June 2022, so winners can plan their trips whenever they feel comfortable traveling. Enter for a chance to win a trip to the beautiful destination of your choice at CoorsLight.com/outside. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes begins on 8/27/20 and ends on 10/1/20. Open only to legal residents in the 50 United States and Washington, D.C., 21 years of age. Travel must be to the destination indicated in the entry and must be completed by 6/30/22 for official rules, including how to enter, prize details, and restrictions. Visit www.coorslight.com/outside. Void where prohibited. Message and data rates apply. All right, you guys, we only have a few minutes left. I want to run through some of these real quick, some rapid fire ranking reactions. Robbie Anderson, still outside the top 30 after 2 weeks putting up 100 points. If Robbie Anderson does something again this week, as he's done in the first 2 weeks, then do we start to believe it? Do we believe that Robbie Anderson with Matt Rhule is the real thing, or is there something more here?
Yeah, especially if they win on Sunday. If he plays well on Sunday against the Chargers.
Tough game, yeah.
I'm already sort of thinking that it's a real thing, but if he gets a job done against a Chargers defense that has multiple very talented cornerbacks, oh yeah.
Yeah, to me, that's why the low ranking is just because of the Chargers.
Just because of the Chargers?
And their corners. Yeah.
By the way, DJ Moore, let's get it rolling, baby. Come on now. Come on now.
But just in general, I think Robbie Anderson is more of a thing than not.
Than not a thing.
My low ranking this week is more based on matchup.
Okay. T.Y. Hilton, both of you guys have him outside your top 30. He struggled, but obviously had some great matchups here. Thoughts on T.Y. Hilton this week?
Better happen now, or else I am super, super nervous.
Yeah, just. Hadn't looked like T.Y. Hilton. The offense seems out of sync. And I don't think they need to throw that much against the Jets. Right? I think it's going to be a big Jonathan Taylor game. I actually think it's going to be a big Nyheim Hines game. We'll see if we get some Jack Doyle. But, you know, my expectation here is that, you know, Mo Alie-Cox gets some love as well. So the concern on Hilton is just volume.
Yeah.
He hasn't looked good. There hasn't been a connection there between him and Phillip Rivers. And B, like, I don't think they're going to need to throw that much against a Jets team that isn't very good.
Makes me a little nervous. Makes me a little bit nervous.
He had that connection right in his hands in the end zone last week, too, which was tough.
Yeah.
All right, Hollywood Brown, tough game this week. I have him at 17. Field, you have him at 27. Matthew at 30. Thoughts on Hollywood Brown this week?
So why do you have a 17, a matchup thing for you?
Yeah, it's a matchup thing. The idea that if they're, you know, understanding Ravens have a really tough defense, but if there's somebody that's going to score that deep touchdown in this team, I like Hollywood. He's probably a little too high.
Is it a tough matchup? Week one, Will Fuller goes crazy. Week two, Keenan Allen goes crazy. Other games that they played, Will Fuller got blanked. Keenan Allen was bad in week one.
Right. It may not be a tough matchup. It's a weird thing that we've talked about a lot. Thirsty Kyle can jump in here with this. But the Chiefs are really good against perimeter wide receivers, perimeter number one wide receivers that go deep. Thirsty Kyle, do you have that stat up? Pop on here.
Grabbing it now.
Yeah. But it's like, and Thirsty Kyle's been pounding this for like a year and a half. And he always pitches me like putting whoever the deep wide receiver that's playing the Chiefs on the hate list. And I'm not putting Marquise Brown on the hate list, but I will say Kyle is right a lot on this one in particular. It's weird. And so, look, we expect a lot of fireworks. That's the Monday Night Football game. Cannot wait. That might be the game
so
of the
much
year.
Fun.
Chiefs Ravens, right?
It's as good as it gets.
It's as good as it gets. But look, for me, he's wide receiver 33 in total points so far this season. I am at wide receiver 30, right? You know, look, caught just 2 of 9 targets in week 3 against Kansas City last year, and obviously it's a different season. It's more experience. But I actually think, in general, it's not as tough a matchup as you might think, but I think specifically for their deep threat,
okay,
I think it's a big Mark Andrews game.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's a big Mark Andrews game. I think it's a big running back game for the Ravens.
I got one more for you guys here. James Robinson, undrafted free agent. Here we are, week 3, and now he is being ranked inside the top 20 at running back.
We'll talk more about this during tomorrow's game preview, obviously, but some of this right now, by the way, it's a great matchup, right? Yeah. I mean, the Dolphins have struggled to defend the run through 2 weeks, specifically to quarterbacks, as Cam and Josh Allen both had big days for them as throwers and runners. More so Cam as a thrower, more so Josh Allen as a runner, but still, the defense is not particularly scary. And let me just, and we talked about
all they got.
You know what? Let's talk about this again from the preseason. I'm just telling you, like, if you ever want to, just for fun, try to rank the top 30 running backs in a given week and get back to me when you get to like running back 16.
It's so hard.
It's so gross.
It's so hard.
It's really tough. So I'm not trying to mitigate what James Robinson has done, but you're like, okay, a guy who's handling all the carries.
Yes.
Who has played pretty well in a pretty favorable matchup.
Yeah.
That right there is the formula to get inside our top 20 running backs.
Has been scoring points.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, Gardner Minshew, baby.
Okay.
Gardner Minshew.
We're going to move ahead to trivia.
Okay.
All right. We've decided to go away from the football trivia for today, guys.
Wow.
There's been a little bit.
Very quickly, by the way, Thirsty Kyle texts me, second lowest perimeter completion percentage again since the start of last season. Only the Patriots have been better than the Chiefs since the start of 2019. So, for what it's worth.
Okay.
There you go.
All right, we're going to go away from NFL trivia. Here we go. I came up with this trivia question myself.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God. It's going to be crappy bands.
Three of these four crappy bands you've never heard of are real. Which one of these is not a real band?
Okay.
Jimmy Eat World.
Right.
American Football.
Okay.
Taking Back Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Fallout Kids.
I know it.
So you can list however you want, the ones that are real or the one that isn't real. You get a point for every one that you would have gotten right. So if you,
You list the ones that are real.
That are real. So Jimmy Eat World.
Yeah.
American Football. Taking Back Sunday. Fallout Kids. Three of the four of them are real crappy bands you have never heard of.
Okay. Well, I wrote mine. Stefania, you can go first. We're going to all get it.
Yeah, I just picked the one. Why would I write three when I can write one? It's Fallout Kids is not real.
Say, D, Fallout Kids is not real. It's Fallout Boy.
Oh, wow.
I got that wrong. I actually put Fallout Kids. Like, I thought that was a real band. I screwed up.
American Football was the one you did not have on there. That's fair. Correct.
American Football is the one. I did not think that was a real band.
So Stefania and I get 3 points.
You guys get 3 points. Matthew gets two.
That's right.
Hey, I like the points on the board this week.
It is Fall Out Boy. And I've heard of Fall Out Boy, but I heard Fall Out Kids, and I just thought,
dance.
Yeah.
Dance. You know?
But maybe it's the kids.
I know we're not really supposed to sing on the show. You know what, though? Issues, but
I appreciate you guys actually having some good knowledge around this pop culture stuff here. Can I ask you one more question?
No.
Yeah.
I probably won't get it right.
This one. This is a social question that comes from @C_FR13R. Can you trust Anthony Miller after his goose egg last week?
I'm not sure why you would. Right? I mean, like, why would you trust a player's coming off of a zero catch game in a sense? Like, was the matchup good last week against the Giants?
Sure.
Phenomenal, right? So is it possible that Anthony Miller has a good game on Sunday?
Of course.
But if, like, the logic would be, oh, yeah, it's a good matchup against the Falcons, and he's a talented player. The same thing could have been said, like, literally the same thing would have been said last week against the Giants, and he got zero catches.
It is maddening to me. I don't understand it, but there are a lot of things that the Bears do as an organization that don't make sense to me. He's playing less than 50% of the snaps. Yeah. He's just not an every-snap player, and he got into the end zone against Detroit in week one. He did nothing last week.
It was a great catch, too.
It was a great catch. But he's just a guy that just, for whatever reason, they will not commit to a full-time role for him. I dropped him in a lot of leagues this week because I preferred Mike Davis, and there were some other wide receivers that I preferred that had more upside. Like, I think Miller's a really talented player. I believe he deserves a full-time role. Free Anthony Miller. But until that happens, until we see some consistency from the Bears' passing game and the Bears' playing usage, to me, Allen Robinson's the only Bears pass catcher you can trust, which is weird considering Miller's actually had the better fantasy season so far. He's gotten to the end zone once. Robinson hasn't. But Robinson's at least playing pretty much every down.
We are not going to make free Anthony Miller a thing. We don't need two free players in the NFC North. If you want to put someone in the NFC East, you're more than welcome to, Matthew, but we're not going to free both players in the NFC North.
You don't get to make that call. I feel like, just so you know, no one put you in charge of that. As you know.
Hey, Matthew, I feel like we've been rushing your promos at the end of the show recently, so we have a minute left. Have at it.
All right. Well, listen, for those of you who play DFS, for those of you who listen to the CSS DFS podcast, they play a DFS that want to try it, rotopassdaily.com.
Okay.
Okay. So you get ESPN Plus, which starts at there. And I'm working with Numberball and a guy named Jeff Collins, Jeff L. Heffy, who is one of the best DFS players in the world. And so you get, you know, and our friends at RotoWire, and you get a bunch of great stuff there. Many great sites for one low price for DFS that, you know, with lineup optimizers and things that will help you in both big tournaments and cash games. And again, you obviously get ESPN Plus, which is fantastic. You get my show, you get Mike Clay stuff, you get Al Zeidenfeld stuff. So promo code launch
gets
you 15% off at rotopassdaily.com.
Okay. All right, rotopassdaily.com. Go check it out with ESPN Plus included. For Daniel, Stefania, Matthew, I'm Field. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
Wow.
Six. Haley's like counting down for it. It's like three,
oh,
two,
say it now.
One. Peace out.